Subheading: Wake up, you drunkards, and weep and howl. The most worrisome aspect of the Watchtower's interpretation of Joel is that the organization has held such a nonsensical view for over 70 years now. In spite of all the Bible study and deep research that Jehovah's Witnesses have engaged in over the years, what can account for such gross lack of insight into these vital prophetic matters? The very prophecy of Joel sheds light on that question in the opening verses. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep and howl, all you wine drinkers, on account of sweet wine, for it has been cut off from your mouths. Elsewhere in prophecy, Jehovah describes his leading men, the priests and prophets, as drunkards. No, it is not that they overindulge in wine or liquor, as is the case with literal drunkards. They are spiritually drunk. In what sense are they spiritually drunk? Bible knowledge can have an intoxicating effect upon an individual. The Apostle Paul condemned the cocksureness peculiar to boasting that afflicted some of the Corinthian Christians, and he also warned that the acquiring of knowledge could cause one to become puffed up with self-importance. Just as an intoxicated person lacks clear reasoning ability and good judgment and is often unaware of his impairment, frequently with disastrous consequences, apparently that is also the case with the leadership of God's organization at the time of his inspection. Due to their unwarranted confidence in the permanence and righteousness of the organization and their positions within it, they lack discernment into God's judgments. The previously quoted Watchtower commentary on Joel says of the drunkards, quote, "Yes, the spiritual drunkards of Judah were told to wake up, to sober up. But do not think that this is merely ancient history. Right now, before the great day of Jehovah, Christendom's clergy are figuratively so full of sweet wine that they are barely conscious of this summons from the Most High. How surprised they will be when they are aroused from their spiritual drunken stupor by the great and fear-inspiring day of Jehovah." End quote. The Watchtower's condemnation of Christendom, in reality, applies more aptly to the Watchtower Society itself. Their interpretation of Joel, which defies sound reasoning and even common sense, is proof that they are intoxicated with their own understanding, oblivious to Jehovah's onrushing day of reckoning with his people. Indeed, how surprised they will be when they are aroused from their spiritual drunken stupor by the great and fear-inspiring day of Jehovah. Like many prophecies in the Bible, the pronouncement of Joel is like a message in a time capsule. It is intended to serve as a rousing wake-up call for Jehovah's ministers to be issued at a crucial juncture during an unanticipated global calamity. It is a final appeal to spiritual sobriety and repentance from a merciful God. Hence, we read at Joel 2:12-13 these words, "The utterance of Jehovah is, come back to me with all your hearts and with fasting and with weeping and wailing, and rip apart your hearts and not your garments, and come back to Jehovah your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and he will certainly feel regret on account of the calamity." Clearly, God is making an impassioned plea to those whom he recognizes as formerly serving him acceptably, but who, for whatever reason, have become estranged from their God. Obviously, That is why God invites his people to come back to Jehovah, your God. But according to the Watchtower, the prophecy of Joel is a call for the apostate clergy of Christendom to repent and become Jehovah's Witnesses. That is why the May 1st, 1998 Watchtower comments, quote, "Can we expect Christendom's entire clergy class to turn to Jehovah? Of course not. Individuals among them might respond to Jehovah's warning, but the spiritually famished state of these religious leaders and their parishioners as a class will continue." End quote. But if Jehovah is really appealing to the clergy to repent, why then does the prophecy exhort them to come back to Jehovah your God? To return to God requires that the prospective returnee must have previously been with God, does it not? Also, the prophecy refers to the ministers of Jehovah and the nation under siege as Jehovah's inheritance. For instance, Joel 2:17 reads, "Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of Jehovah, weep and say, 'Do feel sorry, O Jehovah, for your people, and do not make your inheritance a reproach for nations to rule over them.' Why should they say among the peoples, 'Where is their God?' And Jehovah will be zealous for his land and will show compassion upon his people." What is the setting during which Jehovah will be zealous for his land and show compassion upon his people? The circumstances that move God to act on behalf of his people are a result of the sorry state to which God's people are reduced as a result of the invasion of the great military force when nations rule over them. According to the writings of Paul, the house of God is the organization made up of anointed Christians. The mourning priests in the prophecy of Joel, called the ministers of Jehovah, must, therefore, picture the individual members of the anointed on earth. Just as the literal priest in the temple offered up regular grain and drink offerings, so too, the Bible symbolizes the spiritual offerings of anointed Christians as being priestly sacrifices in the sanctuary of God. Joel harmonizes with the prophecy of Daniel, which depicts the king of fierce countenance trampling upon God's spiritual sanctuary and causing the constant feature of sacrifice to cease for a time. So, in harmony with Isaiah and Daniel, and numerous other prophecies as well, the prophecy of Joel is foretelling how the congregation of Christ will be laid low during a time of unprecedented calamity.